Good morning, everyone. Please be seated for a couple of announcements. First, wanted to give an update on the ongoing tree saga. In case you've been wondering or haven't heard of the ongoing tree saga, about 3 weeks ago, a tree fell and crushed my wife's car. We waited about a week to hear from the insurance adjuster what to do with this. Wound up, I had to chop down the tree myself, so I cleared it all up. And this week, I borrowed Barb Robinson's chainsaw and worked on chopping down and putting the logs of the trunk into fire-sized sides. It was a rainy morning yesterday, so I was very, very careful with the blade and not to hurt myself, which was great until I grabbed the axe and swung it and pulled my back out. So, woo! I am very, very happy with the Rebaxa set that I'm on right now. So, the story continues. I've got an introduction for some of you. Some of you may know Philip, some of you may not, but Philip is an ordinand in the Diocese of Kootenay. He's just finished a placement at St. Aidan's, but lives close by and so is hanging his hat with us every second week or so. And so he's going to be helping out in different ways around the church, being a sacristan, helping out as a server, and some other things that are just fantastic. So I'm thrilled to welcome Philip to St. James. We had a pretty successful games night on Friday. We had probably about 15 out, so less than normal, but we still had a couple fantastic people from the community come out. And so we've got someone who lives down on Warrencliffe and Baseline. Really nice guy, wrote it in his day book as a regular thing that he's going to come and do. So it's really neat to see these outreach opportunities happening and making connections, because so much of church life is all about connections. With that, I think that's all the announcements that I have. Does anyone else have any other announcements? No? All right. Well, with that, would the congregation please stand? Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
May his grace and peace be with you.
May he fill our hearts with joy.
And we say together, Almighty God, to you all hearts are opened,
all desires known, and from you secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
And let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us grace to love one another and walk in the way of his commandments, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
The lesson is written in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning at the 26th verse. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So I'll give you a little insight into my process of how I write a sermon. I look at the scriptures and I see what stands out to me and I see what I really want to talk about. And in this section of lessons that we've had, there are two sermons that I'm not going to preach to you, and there's one that I will. So I'll tell you the first one that I'm not going to preach, and that was how as a 10 to 14 to 28 to 38-year-old, I've often prayed that God would just give me a lightsaber. Because if you ask for anything in God's name, God will grant it. And I've never gotten a lightsaber. So you'll have to tune in to why I think that might be the case. The second sermon that I'm not going to preach was one that I thought was really clever. And I thought it was really, really good. And the nice thing about St. James is that the Wednesday morning service is a chance to try out some material, for lack of a better word, but to give a test run on your sermon. And what I had thought when we were talking about the gospel reading with Jesus as the vine and we are the branches, and the branches that bear fruit get pruned and the ones that don't get cut off, that's an act of cutting on both. And I thought, wouldn't it be a great sermon, and I could just run with the metaphor of the pruning and being cut off. It doesn't feel very good for us who are rooted in God. We're bearing fruit, we get pruned so we bear more fruit. Well, that's like being cut to pieces, and that doesn't feel very good, and being cut off is being cut and broken, and that doesn't feel very good. And I was talking about this with the Wednesday morning group, and finally someone had just had enough and said, "It's a metaphor." So very true. That was a metaphor, and I was thinking I was a little bit too clever for my own good. So maybe we're just going to leave that aside, let it grow for another year or two or three until it comes up in the lectionary again, and I might take another shot at it. So I'm going to go to something a little different, and I'm going to talk about the Acts reading today. The Acts reading is not just a metaphor, it's a story. It's a story of the disciples after Jesus' resurrection and spreading this thing called the gospel, this good news that God loves us even more than we could have ever asked or imagined, that God has given his life for the remission of our sins, and all of these other wonderful things, that the old rules that bound us and chained us are broken free, and that we have a freedom in God that we've never known before. They went and spread this message all over the place. And in this story in Acts that we had today, we have Philip coming across an Ethiopian eunuch, someone who didn't have connections with the Jewish religion, wasn't well versed in everything that was going on, and Philip sees him reading the scriptures. And I think for us, it's possible to put ourselves into the place of different characters in this story. So the first person that I want us to put ourselves into, the first shoes we want to try on, is the story of that eunuch. We've all been given a tremendous amount of gifts. The eunuch was in charge of the treasury of a queen of another country, but could have just as well been a successful real estate agent or a professor at Western or you name it. So many gifts we have and that we've been given. But even so, I think it's a little bit freeing, a little bit hopeful that the eunuch wasn't understanding what he was reading. I think that gives us permission to not always understand what God is doing in the world around us. Confessing again, I'm spending way too much time and attention on what's happening in the Supreme Court to the south of us and in the courts of New York, just watching and going, God, what are you doing with the orange guy? Like, what is happening here? Could somebody come alongside and explain it to me? I'd really like to see how God is moving through this whole process. I'm sure if someone could just explain it, it would become clear to me. And isn't that true for us? When we find ourselves in the midst of struggle or uncertainty or whatever situation we find ourselves in, I'm sure we've all called out and said, God, this just doesn't make a lot of sense. What is going on here? And there's something freeing and there's something really hopeful about finding someone who experienced the same thoughts in the gospel, in the story of Acts, that there's someone trying to understand what God is doing and having a hard time with it. But the message that we get from this story in Acts is that the important things God will come alongside and reveal in due time. My brother-in-law is not one who goes to church at all, not a believer, thinks it's all a little bit ridiculous. My sister has commented that I'm a priest because I like to work one day a week to fleece ladies out of money. Family dynamics, I mean, right? But even my brother-in-law and sister, at the birth of their first child, said, it's enough to make you believe in God. God will make known the things that we need to understand in our lives. And through different ways that we can't quite comprehend, if we're open to it, someone will come along and explain what God is doing. I believe this. I really do. And maybe that's hindsight, maybe it's hope for the future, but I believe that God will make known to us all the things that we really, absolutely, deeply have to know. And I trust that this will happen. And so that's the lesson that I take away from standing in the shoes of the Ethiopian eunuch. But the lesson I take from standing in the shoes of Philip is that the seeds that we scatter, the little moments of interaction where we shine forth with the gospel of Christ, can go on to do things that we can't even possibly ask or imagine. The church in Ethiopia has a unique characteristic to it. It calls itself back to this eunuch who went back into the parts of Africa and had a Christian nation there for time upon time upon time. Philip had this one opportunity, this brief chance to talk with the eunuch, to explain things, to baptize, and then somehow is teleported away. And God continues on with this person. Who knows the person that you pray for, what God will do with that prayer? Who knows the act of kindness or compassion that you show that could be planted as a seed that will grow into things that you could possibly never even imagine? Did you know, do you believe that the seed you plant could change this city for the better in a way that you could never ask, imagine, or explain? That might not ever even be connected back to you. But it's true. So if we are to take this lesson of the Ethiopian eunuch seriously, we need to hold in tension these two lessons. The one, that sometimes we don't know what God is doing, and that sometimes it might never be explained, but the things we need to know will be made known to us. And on the other hand, the scattering of the seed, the good deeds that we plant into the world around us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. And with these two thoughts in our hearts and our minds, let us live our life as authentically and as truly as we can, trusting in God to both provide for us and through us provide for the world around. Because God will do this. God has promised to do this. And God has done this in the past. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? And let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
Sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And would the congregation please adopt a position of prayer for the prayers of the people?
Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Jesus, you are the vine and we your branches. Keep us abiding in your life and your love. Prune and tend your church that it may bear fruitful disciples of your grace. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Jesus, the Ethiopian official sought to understand your good news. Expand the hearts and minds of all in authority to pursue truth and justice. Bring reason for all people to rejoice. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Jesus, your love sets our hearts ablaze. Open the hearts of all people to reflect this love in ways that nurture and foster character. Strengthen all who support parenting and provide guidance for the young. Sing to the Lord a new song,
for he has done marvelous things.
Jesus, your love precedes us, and we respond with adoration and praise. Give to all who are afflicted grace to bathe in this affection. And today we pray especially for Anna, Eunice, Sylvia, Robert, Ashley, Greg, Gavin, Catherine, Alan, Mary, Nathan, Peter, Diane, Linda, and Brian, Trent, Jim, Don and Nancy, Kristen, Mel, and Sandra D. Raise us to delight in your loving purposes through good times and bad. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Jesus, we are made for your love. Do not forget the children you have made. May we all come to abide with you forever. Sing to the Lord a new song,
for he has done marvelous things.
Would the congregation please stand? The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us share that peace with one another. Let us pray. Gracious God, you show us your way and give us your divine life. May everything we do be directed by the knowledge of your truth. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us eternal life. Therefore, joining our voices with the whole company of heaven, we sing our joyful hymn of praise to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation. In calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Lord, we died with you on the cross.
Now we are raised to new life.
We were buried in your tomb.
Now we share in your resurrection.
Live in us that we may live in you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of love, in this Eucharist we have heard your truth and shared your life. May we walk always in your way. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power is in us. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Our service of worship comes to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Alleluia. Alleluia.